This is a very faithful time. This is a time full of faith. And if we want to participate, we have the opportunity to be transformed, liberated from the earthly matters which keep us bound in fear and despair, just like in Jesus' day. In Jesus' day, people were watching him change people's lives. He was healing individuals and doing things which had never been done before. He was touching the untouchable, breaking societal boundaries, and thus drawing people together who had always dehumanized one another. He was promising to make a new way, and people desperately needed a new way. They needed a savior. They needed someone to take them from their suffering and end the suffering of others. They desperately wanted a new way. Jesus said, "Follow me." And then he started walking in the direction of transformation, where everything was going to change. People literally had him in front of them to follow. They were moving in the direction of his promises and the promises that they wanted to have kept. I believe that our present moment gives us emotional insight into the gospel for today. Because isn't that how you feel? Don't you want to be free from suffering? Don't you want the suffering of others to stop? I want you to take a moment and notice the first thing from this past week which has broken your heart. Did you find it? I apologize for bringing this to your consciousness again. Perhaps you're saying to me, "Mother Whitney, this is why I came to church, was to get away from it. I'm exhausted and angry, and I feel powerless." Why do you feel powerless? Who took your power? Perhaps your feeling of powerlessness has to do with undeveloped power. It's not that you don't have power, it's that you're unfamiliar with the loving practice of it. I know many people who have thought that power was bad and thus have attempted to stay away from it their whole lives. They watch people use power in a way which fosters fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Indeed, the power of destruction and exploitation is bad. Kind of like James and John, who wondered if they should call fire down to consume those who rejected Jesus' message. Jesus said, "No! I have a different power, and each of you have it too. It's the loving practice of power. And each of you know about the loving practice of power. Every time you make a meal, or work in the garden, or give instruction, you are effectuating change by your actions, which is power. You're bringing about something new. Heck, even passivity has power. Jesus used it when he entered into Jerusalem. By not doing anything, something happened. Think of relationships, even in your own life, which have fallen apart because you didn't attend to them. That's an example of passive power. Another example of passive power is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee of the Civil Rights Movement, SNCC, as it was called. Ella Baker organized young people in the learning and demonstration of nonviolence, and they became a powerful force in ending Jim Crow laws and changing the nation. The late John Lewis was one of those young people. He and many whose names we do not know carried that knowledge and power throughout their lives. We use power to keep our mouth shut, to not fight back. This is passive power, and it makes a difference in the outcome, too. It seems to me that humans forget the power that we have, the power that we are, and thus don't discipline ourselves to learn how to use it for good. And I want to challenge you in that. I want to challenge you to change that, to consider the question, what am I doing to exercise the power of love in this world? This is not a thought process. This is about putting time and energy into the effort. It's about putting a hand to the plow. And this is what happens in our gospel. Jesus says, "Follow me. You will be transformed. You will be brought into a new reality." And to a one, people expressed a reticence to trust Jesus with their lives. There's going to be some ambiguity in this journey. Like, I'm not know where I'm going to sleep every night. Perhaps some discomfort, a stone under my head. I'm not sure I want to go. I'm going to have to let go of some societal norms at times. I mean, like, I'm supposed to bury my parents. I'm not sure I want to do that. I'm going to have to let go of how things have always been for me. I like the friends I have. I like the things the way they are. Paul is saying the same thing in his letter to the Galatians. Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. And isn't it indulgent to be complacent? You have freedom, every single one of you, to choose love. You have freedom to choose to love one another, every single one of you, an active life of practice, of doing things. And I implore you to practice loving, the loving power of God, because that is where God is at work, and God can do something with it. God will use your contribution to bring about the life that transforms all of us, because God is using all of our contributions toward the same. Yes, we do this through prayer. We also do this through study for action. That's what studying nonviolence was all about. We do this through showing up for one another in the fight against evil. Because evil cannot survive the power of love. It cannot survive the power of love. Evil cannot survive the power of love. But love has to be exercised power. It has to be used. You are not powerless. So when you feel powerless, I encourage you to ask, what can I do to exercise my power? Who do I need to talk to help me get engaged? Last week at our Wednesday night session of What Can I Do?, we looked at a website that had toolkits for fighting authoritarianism. Now, I know we don't have an authoritarian government, but we do have a crackdown on voice and a punishment of dissent. But democracy believes in the power of people, even as authoritarianism attempts to eliminate the power of people. As the few of us gathered around the TV screen, we scrolled through the topics on this website, and we decided to explore how to fight Christian nationalism. That was one of the toolkits there. So this week, on July 2nd, I'm going to share, and we're going to dialogue, about how to fight Christian nationalism. Do you want to come learn how it is that you can interrupt that narrative? We must interrupt the power of Christian nationalism in order to advocate and exercise the power of love. So we're going to meet upstairs in North Hall this Wednesday if you want to come, 7:15. Historical studies show that it only takes 3.5% of a population to overthrow authoritarian power. For the United States, that's 11.9 million people. On June 14th, 5 million people took to the streets to take a stand against a feeling of authoritarianism. That's almost halfway to the total. The more quickly we get to a number that actually changes things, the more quickly we end the destruction, and the more quickly we get to work making a world which shows the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. As Paul reminds us, there is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The work of reconstruction will not be easy. History shows us that it is rife with pitfalls. Yet the Spirit has been promised to us by our Savior, you know, the one we need, the only Savior I know, Jesus the Christ, to guide our lives and our work. The only thing required of us is to show up with our bodies and our voices. It's a beautiful day outside, and we have the freedom to determine how we will spend our time. We have the freedom to dedicate our power to love's work in the world. So I encourage you to get your summer calendar out. Put on the beach days, write in the mountain days, and your summer vacation. And also schedule in your effort to exercise and thus grow your utilization of the power of love. Jesus says, "Follow me." And we can say, even if it's in a whisper, even if our voice trembles, "Okay, I will." In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.